We also welcome President Trump to consider banning all American investments in China.
Hong Kong protests on China's National Day. It's Tuesday, October 2nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, several North Korea developments, U.S. politics down under, opening Pakistani society, growing numbers of homeless, and feeding the needy. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong tried to disrupt China's message of unity and stability during celebrations to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the founding of the ruling Chinese Communist Party. VOA's Brian Patton reports from Hong Kong on how democracy activists are using increasingly disruptive tactics to pressure Beijing to let Hong Kong govern itself.
Chinese President Xi Jinping on Tuesday presided over a military parade of 15,000 troops, flyovers by military jets, and thousands of civilians adorned in colorful costumes to celebrate 70 years of Chinese Communist Party rule. While in Hong Kong, thousands of pro-democracy supporters converged in the city center in defiance of a government ban on demonstrations to protest what they see as Beijing's increasingly repressive efforts both on the mainland and in Hong Kong.
For many of us who treasure freedom, who uphold human dignity and fight for democracy, we feel sad for the people, for our compatriots.
President Xi, in addressing the Beijing celebration, reaffirmed both Hong Kong and Macau's one country, two systems autonomy, but emphasized that his government will continue to fight to reunify the entire Chinese population, which also includes Taiwan. Hong Kong officials held a Chinese flag-raising ceremony for Chinese National Day that had to be moved indoors to avoid protesters. Fireworks celebrations were also canceled. Hong Kong's leaders had withdrawn the extradition law that sparked the protest movement in Hong Kong, one that would have given China broad powers to arrest Hong Kong residents. But the pro-democracy protests have continued for more than 4 months, with activists increasing demands to include direct popular elections for the Hong Kong legislature, ending the current system where business elites with ties to Beijing select nearly half the legislative body. Some protesters are asking the United States to support Hong Kong human rights and democracy efforts.
We also welcome President Trump to consider banning all American investments in China and to ban the listing of China companies in the U.S.
While the protest marches in central Hong Kong were mostly peaceful at the beginning, as the day progressed, there were reports of increased clashes between protesters and police. Activists have been employing increasingly disruptive tactics, and Hong Kong police have been responding with increasing force, using pepper spray, water cannon, and rubber bullets to disperse protesters. These confrontational actions by both sides may escalate tensions and block any potential for constructive compromise.
Hardliners say, look, we have no choice. Hong Kong's slipping out of our control because of these terrorists. We have no choice but to come in and crack down.
So far, however, Beijing has not militarily intervened, as such a move would bring international condemnation and could have serious economic repercussions for Hong Kong and China. Brian Patton, VOA News, Hong Kong.
These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. North Korea agrees to resume working-level talks on Saturday. China marks 70th anniversary of Communist Party rule as violent clashes erupt in Hong Kong. In Vietnam, men parade, but women rule at festival called Kate. On U.S. delisting threat, China says decoupling would harm both sides. Australia confirms Trump asked for help to investigate Mueller probe origin. Expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by our website. That's voanews.com. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton says North Korea will never give up its nuclear weapons voluntarily. In his first speech after being ousted from the Trump administration, Bolton said North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un will do whatever he can to keep a deliverable nuclear weapons capability. Bolton's talk on Monday coincided with a North Korean envoy's address to the United Nations General Assembly, in which he accused the United States of provocations that hamper the progress of talks on the situation in the region. VOA's Latika Hoke reports.
The United States supports tough economic sanctions against North Korea until it dismantles its nuclear program. U.S. President Donald Trump has praised his personal relationship with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and said the two sides are cooperating toward denuclearization of the peninsula. North Korea said Monday that little progress has been achieved due to what it called political and military provocations perpetrated by the United States.
It depends on the U.S. whether our negotiations will become a window of opportunity or an occasion that will hasten the crisis.
Bolton said North Korea has no plans to give up its nuclear weapons.
I think the strategic decision that Kim Jong-un is operating through is that he will do whatever he can to keep a deliverable nuclear weapons capability and to develop and enhance it further. He may try to get relief from international sanctions. He may make some concessions. But under current circumstances, he will never give up the nuclear weapons voluntarily.
North Korea has carried out a series of missile tests this year, but has not had another nuclear test since September of 2017. Trump takes credit for it, but Bolton said it is not a good sign.
One very troubling reason, why there's no more testing of nuclear weapons for the moment or of long-range missiles is that North Korea has, in its judgment, for well or ill, finished testing and can produce nuclear warheads and long-range ballistic missiles. That's not an encouraging sign. That's a sign to be worried about.
Bolton said it was unacceptable to allow North Korea to have nuclear weapons.
If you believe, and you may not, that it is unacceptable for North Korea to have nuclear weapons, at some point, military force has to be an option.
Using military force is something Trump has been avoiding. He fired Bolton last month, citing differences of opinion on North Korea, Iran, and other issues, and replaced him with U.S. hostage negotiator Robert O'Brien. Zlatica Hoek, VOA News, Washington.
British-registered companies have facilitated North Korean efforts to evade international sanctions. That's according to an investigation by the London-based Royal United Services Institute. Henry Ridgewell in London tells us the report reveals how British companies are being used to operate cargo ships smuggling coal out of North Korea.
Coal is North Korea's biggest export. Its income provides crucial funds for Pyongyang's nuclear and ballistic missile program, says the United Nations Security Council. And because of this, the industry is subject to United States, European Union, and United Nations sanctions. But a report from the Royal United Services Institute says British registered companies are playing a key role in bypassing those sanctions.
UK-registered entities are being used as front companies and owners of vessels that are essentially involved in the illicit smuggling of North Korean coal, which is in contravention of United Nations Security Council resolutions.
The report details how North Korea is able to access US and international financial systems by using a complex network of global actors and company structures. One such network is Weihai World Shipping Freight, based in China. Six of the company's vessels are identified as being involved in the smuggling of North Korean coal. Of these, four vessels have been owned by companies registered in Britain. One vessel, the Lucky Star, loaded coal in North Korea as recently as January. Another, the Asia Bridge, is seen here at the Nampo coal berth in North Korea in early August.
The networks behind these front companies are doing this for a number of reasons, including to obfuscate the origins of the network, which are already sanctioned by the UN Security Council. And they're also using the UK system as sort of a veneer of respectability to lower the levels of scrutiny against their activities and the vessels involved in those activities.
McDonald says Britain must tighten oversight on the formation of companies because it is now too easy to create bogus firms.
It takes about 24 hours. It costs about £12. You need a director and a shareholder, an address within the UK, which can just be a secretariat address, which was used in this case as well. And the directors and shareholders don't actually have to be UK citizens or even have ever set foot in the United Kingdom.
In a statement, the British government told VOA that it works closely with law enforcement partners in the UK and beyond, where individuals or companies are suspected of illegal activities. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Happening now in Asia, North Korea has agreed to resume working-level nuclear talks with the United States. The talks will be held this Saturday. Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un agreed in late June to resume working-level nuclear talks. 3 months later, North Korea has finally said it will move ahead with the negotiations. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We thank you for listening, and we're glad you're with us today on VOA Asia. Australia has confirmed that U.S. President Donald Trump asked Prime Minister Scott Morrison to help investigate the origins of the Mueller report. The request to assist an investigation led by Attorney General William Barr reportedly came shortly before Morrison's visit to the United States last week. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australia has said it will use its best endeavours to cooperate with the Justice Department investigation into Robert Mueller. His probe into alleged Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election was in part prompted by a former Australian foreign minister and diplomat. Alexander Downer reported that a member of Donald Trump's campaign team, George Papadopoulos, was aware of Russian attempts to discredit former US Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the Democratic candidate, in the 2016 US national election. Downer told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation he has nothing more to add to his reporting of that conversation in May 2016.
It's not just that I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I've just got nothing more to say about it. I mean, I had a conversation with this guy. I passed on the conversation, or that one element of the conversation, to the Americans. And, I mean, there's just nothing more to it. I can't offer you any more information. I know nothing about conversations that Scott Morrison has had with the Americans, including President Trump.
Papadopoulos has denied ever discussing such details. He served a short prison term last year after lying to the FBI about meetings he had with alleged go-betweens for Russia. It's reported that Australian officials have been asked by the Trump administration to find evidence to discredit the Mueller review. It angered President Trump, who's dismissed the investigation into Russian interference in the election as a witch hunt. The FBI probe didn't establish that the Trump campaign criminally conspired with the Russians to influence the 2016 election, although it didn't clear the president of collusion. In Canberra, opposition politicians now want to know if Australia is being used by President Trump to disparage his critics. Prime Minister Scott Morrison is one of Trump's closest international allies and was feted at a state dinner at the White House last week. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Coming up, overcoming prejudice and plastic. You're listening to VOA Asia.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Vietnam has passed a new regulation that details prohibitions against corrupt behavior by state officials, down to the last fruit basket. The decree requires officials to report all gifts, even small ones, and their relationship to the giver, and requires civil servants to refuse to accept, quote, improper gifts. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, purging prejudice in Pakistan and paring plastic pollution are the topics on today's VOA Asia Business Scene with Kelly Jean Kelly.
Bibo Haider is a 35-year-old transgender woman. Until recently, she could not go to a salon to get a haircut. Prejudices against the LGBTQ community in Pakistan are rife. Many beauty salons refuse to treat transgender women. So Haider opened her own salon. She named it Trawa, a word for makeover used by the Pakistani transgender community. Anybody can walk into Trawa for some me time without being asked about their gender. Kami Sid is a regular customer. She says the public does not always realize that transgender people are no different from anyone else. Not everyone in Karachi is comfortable with Haider and Sid. Fuzia Naz doesn't serve transgender people in her salon, especially if they want a hand massage or a leg wax. She says she avoids them because they are not female. But Haider still dreams that she and her clients will one day become part of everyday Pakistani society. Single-use plastics are polluting the world's oceans, and environmentalists are urging businesses and governments to cut back on them or eliminate them altogether. In India, Prime Minister Narendra Modi is calling for change.
India will put an end to single-use plastic in the coming years.
Some hotels are already working on one solution. Here is Denise Naguib of Marriott International.
What we are doing is changing from tiny bottles to larger size amenities for your shower, and that will eliminate nearly 500 million tiny bottles every year.
Getting rid of those tiny bottles will cut out about 1.7 million pounds of plastic. Naguib says guests have appreciated the chance not to create more waste.
From a cost perspective, hotels have to change the way that they deliver amenities to the guests today. So whether it's putting in shelves or changing that environment, there will be upfront costs for the hotels. Long term, we hope that this is going to net out, but we don't know because there are so many different variables.
Marriott is the world's largest hotel chain, with more than 7,000 hotels in 131 countries. But many smaller hotel groups, like the Suniva Resorts in Thailand, have also ditched small plastic bottles. For VOA's Business Scene, I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
This news break from VOA Asia. Japan's national sales tax was raised to 10% from 8% Tuesday, amid concerns that the long-delayed move could derail fragile growth of the world's third-largest economy. The sales tax hike comes amid lower business sentiment among large manufacturers in September, its worst level since 2013. You'll find all the big stories on VOA Asia Facebook. Now on VOA Asia, homelessness has risen 12% in Los Angeles since last year, despite more spending than ever on housing assistance, and experts say high rents are pushing even more people out of the housing market. Mike O'Sullivan reports it's a problem faced by many cities around the world that can result in permanent pockets of urban poverty.
It's a common sight in Los Angeles, thousands of people living in tents on the street. These are budding shanty towns, says one analyst, like those in developing countries.
What you're seeing now is the first signs of a drift in this structural direction because you're seeing tent cities.
This despite some progress. Los Angeles moved more than 21,000 people from the streets to permanent housing last year, funded by two measures approved by voters. Some solutions are short-term, including a 45-bed shelter where this man found refuge.
The rents are too high here in L.A., and it's very hard. I can't do it myself. I need help. So I thank God that they brought the shelter here.
Set up with help from the city, this shelter was the first of many that offer hope to those lucky enough to get in.
The fact that they can kind of put their heads down at night and be able to sleep and feel that feel like they're safe and secure where they are versus having to be up all night, you know, worrying about like whether they're going to be attacked on the streets.
Substance abuse and mental illness can contribute, but high rents and low incomes are the root cause, says a local official. Sprawling western U.S. cities were built for long commutes and low-density housing.
And this model works very well until you run out of space for new highways. And the result is that you push people further and further out of the center. It becomes more and more expensive to live in the center near where the jobs are.
A strong urban economy has left many behind. The Trump administration says nearly half of the nation's unsheltered homeless live in California and calls for deregulation of the housing market, including zoning and, more controversially, rent controls and environmental mandates. Experts say that every level of government needs to figure out ways to spur construction of affordable housing. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
For many homeless people, finding shelter sometimes isn't nearly as important as finding a next meal. Providing food is the main mission of Mana House, a charity organization where homeless and underprivileged people get breakfast and other services for free. Niloufar Mucha is giving a view from the inside of Mana House, located in Baltimore in the state of Maryland.
It's 8 in the morning, and the line outside Mana House is forming with the local homeless. They are in line to get free breakfast.
I'm coming down here at the Mana House to be able to eat a precious and gorgeous, tasteful meal each and every morning. When I do come here, I enjoy it.
Located in Baltimore in the state of Maryland, Mana House has been providing free breakfast to the homeless for the past 50 years. And for the past 30 years, Salim Gohar, a Pakistani-American, has been leading the efforts.
When I first saw that there was so much poverty here, but at the same time so much wealth, how could this imbalance exist? There must be a solution to this. So I started volunteering.
Gohar says the 200 people that he serves daily come from all walks of life.
The good thing here is that everyone eats together, be it whites, blacks, Muslims, Christians, or Jews. There is no difference here.
Mana House does not just hand out free breakfast, but also provides other services, such as a daycare center, where homeless people can spend their time as a community. The program is partly funded by the government and private funds. Volunteers working here have also been coming to Mana House for years.
They actually seem to do a very, very lot with so little.
It's a need, and it's fulfilling, and a place that you go that you know they serve the public, and it's free.
The poor can't be helped only with the money of the rich. Common people have to be part of the effort to help them.
The number of homeless people is growing day by day, according to a report by United States Interagency Council on Homelessness. As of January 2018, there were an estimated 7,144 homeless living in the state of Maryland alone. Organizers of Mana House say they are now looking into expanding the space to help as many people as possible. Niloufar Mughal, VOA News, Baltimore, Maryland.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. We hope you visit us on social media. You'll find us on VOA Asia Facebook. We're also on YouTube and Twitter. So we hope that you look up our accounts, sign up, join us, and follow us. We have a lot of great information to pass along to you outside of our radio program. And so we hope you'll find us on social media as well as on the radio, like Falcon Radio at Adamson University in the Philippines. We say hello to everyone there who's tuned in today. Thanks for joining us, and come again for our next program. We also thank our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Cedric Franklin, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman and Keith Lane, and our interns, Hayoung and Afra, who help with our social media. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Have a great day.